Again, I appreciate your thoughtfulness of me to ask me to be here. I'm flattered that you want me to come. It's my favorite place to go, one of them among many. And I thank you for your faithfulness. And as we begin a new year, I trust in a special way that the Lord will bless us all to be more faithful in days to come than we have in days that have passed. That's hard to do, I know, at times, but nevertheless, the Lord's grace is sufficient for us in a special way this day and every day, last year, this year, next year. And we have the permanent character of God to set our hope upon, and that's our prayer today, to be mindful of the faithfulness of God. This morning I want to read to you from Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38 and reading through verse 42, the close of the chapter. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through verse 42. Will you pray with me just now? Heavenly Father, as we approach thy throne this morning, we do so understanding that we're not able to acquaint thee with the things that we need. And yet we are taught in thy word to pray without ceasing. And as we approach thy throne of grace today, Lord, we do so trusting you will hear our prayer through our intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son and our Redeemer. He who stands between us and you, a holy God who demands perfection. Father, we are thankful today to be here at this place called Macedonia. We are thankful for this congregation of baptized believers that have gathered here in this tabernacle that's been set aside and dedicated to the worship of thy great name. And as we endeavor to worship thee, Lord, this morning, help us in a special way to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Divorce our minds for a little while from the things that would depress us and disturb us, and give us grace to serve you acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Father, we ask today that you would bless this body, that you would bless thy church and people wherever they meet together this day. And as those men, wherever they may be, stand behind this sacred desk, may they be given the ability through thy divine spirit to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all manner of long suffering. We are thankful for the blessings of the years that have passed, O Lord, and for the hope in years to come. The expectation that thou wilt be faithful to continue with us, and that thou would bless us in spite of what we are. We know our failings are many. We know that too many times that we call upon thy great name and fail to remember the sovereignty that overshadows us and the providence that goes with us day by day. Father, we would ask that you would bless us this morning with a ready turn of thought, ready recollection, and a mind that would be able to travel in those avenues that we've tried to think about and study. And yet, may we do it in such simplicity that we would not be accused of flattery or false teachings that would make men idolize, but yet the simple truth that instructs us in thy way according to thy word. Lord, would you help us all today to serve you better by serving one another, that you would give us grace to continue in those things and giving ourselves as living sacrifices before thee, who demands only that from us which is reasonable. Lead us, Father, in paths of righteousness. Give us grace to deter those things that would disturb us. Bless our families and our kindred in Christ in days to come. And when we've left this place today, may we say that the Holy Spirit moved us, that thy word taught us, and that thy Spirit has guided us into the ways of all truth. Continue with us through life. Forsake us not in death. Finally, save us in that upper and that better kingdom called heaven. And there we'll give you a perfect praise in a world that knows no end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll go back and read the verses that precede the text I read to you this morning, you'll find where Jesus had sent out 70 and sent them two by two into every city and place whether he himself would go. That tells us that in the first verse. And he told them that the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. And that our prayer ought to be that the Lord would send laborers to the vineyard, but he said, go your way, for behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, you know, in the outset of that, that would seem almost a discouraging message, if you please. I'm sending you, and it's going to be an arduous task. I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. That's not an encouraging message to the natural man. And then on through this particular chapter, you'll find where that they appeared to him a certain lawyer that stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 25. And Jesus said to him, what's written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering him said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, Jesus said, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Now when you read that, and you begin to roll that over in your mind, if you, as an individual, could fulfill what that young lawyer said, then I'll tell you right now, you'd not have any trouble getting eternal life. But I want to tell you one thing, Brother Virgil. You and me have missed the boat in the whole thing. And everybody else who's here has missed the boat. If that's what it requires, I'll tell you that old song said that you just sung, thou would be just in banishing us forever. We can't meet it. Not one of them When it said, love thy neighbor as thyself, you know what that means? Brother John, that means that when payday comes, you just soon have your neighbor to have your paycheck as you have. Well, I'd just a little bit rather have mine, amen? It's my neighbor to have it. So I've already failed the text. And this young man didn't come trying to find out the truth. If you'll read this, the Bible said he stood up and tempted him. He tempted the Lord Jesus. He wasn't trying to find out the truth. Now, he was going about it legally, all right. He was a lawyer.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something. Everybody that's seeking legality is not always seeking spirituality. And you can write that down. And this young man was in that category. Now, I'm not here to preach about all that, but I'm going to get down to what I'm going to talk about here in the last part of this particular chapter. Now, after all of those experiences, it came to pass as they went, and that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha. I like the certain things of the Bible, don't you? Certain. The Bible tells me that Philip and the eunuch came to a certain water. The Bible tells me that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Certain things of the Bible. When the Bible said this is certain, you can understand, and this is what it means, that this is not a parable, but it actually and literally took place. That's what it means. And so this certain village that Jesus entered into, there was a certain woman named Martha that received him into her house. And in her house dwelt also a sister called Mary. And notice the terminology that is used here, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. What a wonderful statement that could be said about anybody. Certainly couldn't be said about the lawyer. Certainly couldn't be said about many that you read about. She sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word.
Yeah.
I like that.
Amen.
But Martha. Now here's the contrast. But Martha. Now remember, Martha received him into her house. Mary sat at his feet, but Martha was cumbered. That means she was burdened. She was burdened about serving. She couldn't put the pieces of this puzzle together. She was burdened about her service while Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. It's very evident that Martha was industrious. She wasn't lazy.
No.
And I don't think that Mary was lazy, but I'm going to tell you right now that she felt an importance about her daily activity, that it was necessary and needful that she sat at the feet of Jesus and hear his word.
Yeah, amen.
Listen to this. But Mary was cumbered about much serving and came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Do you don't care about that? She left me right by myself. She sat here all day long while I've been in this hot kitchen.
Yeah.
She sat here all day long while I've waited on you, while I've fixed the meal, while I've served everybody that's come into the house. Don't you care anything about that I'm left by myself to serve? Well, bid her, tell her, Lord, you've got influence with her. She's sitting at your feet. Tell her, therefore, to come and help me. Come and help me. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, you know, he could have said it once and that would have been enough, but he said it twice. Martha, Martha. You know, my mother's done me that way before. And, you know, she did that to get my attention. Now, Daddy didn't have to say it once. Mama could say it twice. But he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're anxious. She looked around and she saw herself as the only one that could do what needed to be done, and yet she needed some help. I need it done quickly. I've got a sister, the only sister I've got, but she is what I would call a minute man. Whatever she wants it done yesterday. All right? Now, I've been accused of that myself. I don't think I'm that bad. But I've been accused of it by Miss Harcrow and others. But I want you to understand that Martha was troubled. She was anxious about many things. But Jesus said, Martha, listen to this now. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that.
Yeah.
Mary hath chosen that. Now, for the little while that I've got left, I want to talk to you this morning about making choices.
Yeah.
Making choices. Now, when you hear the average pulpit preacher today, he's going to stand up here and tell you that you've got choices to make. And as far as that goes, that would be right. But you know, this morning I got up and fumbling around in the dark, I found a tie that might match the suit I've got on. I made that choice. I made the choice of wearing the suit that I've got on, the shoes that I've got on, the glasses I've got on. I've made those choices on my own. I did that. And the world has the idea today that we are filled with choices, and I've got to agree to a degree. I want to tell you what Joshua told the children of Israel in Joshua 24 and 15. He said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, just choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or the God of your fathers from the lands that you came. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now he's saying, if it seems evil to you, just serve the Lord, just anything's all right. Just choose one. But he says, that's the choice that we make. But now, the world will say that you, as a dead alien sinner, have a choice to make whether you are going to go to heaven or die and go to hell. That's what they tell you. Now, that's simple language, but that's the truth. And I know I'm speaking to the choir this morning, but I want you to understand today that I'm free in choosing to commit sin. That's the truth. I do that. God didn't have to predestinate me to sin. I do that quite well on my own. Amen? But I want you to understand today that it is not my choice to whether I am going to live good enough to where I'm going to make the right decisions, or whether I'm going to do what God requires and brings me into relationship with Him. I don't have that ability. The Arminian requires something of the dead alien sinner that the Bible says that he cannot do. That's what they require. I'm going to tell you right now, you as the man void of the grace of God, without the Spirit of God being applied to your heart and soul, you do not have the ability to choose that which is right. Now, I want to tell you one thing. Somebody says, well, you say you're free in committing sin. I'm going to tell you right now, left to yourself, you will always see that what you do brings you downhill.
Yeah.
You can save water. You can pour water out on the ground. But you know what the nature of water is? It'll always seek a lower level.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of the natural man. He will always seek a lower level. But the man that has been given grace, the man who has been born from above, that man has two natures. He has a dual nature. He has a nature that God implants in there, gives him a new heart, a new thought, a new mind, a new direction. And yet God does not take out that old man. He's still there. And then there's where the conflict comes. There's where the cross comes. And you're going to have to live with that till the day you die. That's the struggle that we go through. Now, when the Bible tells us, and you read the farewell message of this great man, choose you this day whom you will serve, I want you to understand that he didn't say that to everybody, did he? He said that to his people.
Amen.
And I want to tell you right now today, when God says for us to choose that which is good, we have the ability to choose that which is good. Go into Proverbs 16 and 16 and listen to what the Bible says here in Proverbs 16 and 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? You see, here is a choice that you and I make. And sad to say, I'm going to tell you right now, there are many of God's people that have made choices that have carried them down the wrong road. I want you to go with me to the book of Isaiah and listen to what God said about his own. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 66, beginning with verse 1. Thus saith the Lord God, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. I want to tell you, there's Mary in a picture in the Old Testament. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, he said she was of a contrite heart. The Bible says this, a poor and a contrite spirit that trembles at his word. My friend, I want to tell you right now, this book is a beautiful book, and yet it is a dangerous book. You know what it says? It's like a sword that pierces to the innermost heart of the child of God. It is able to divide the joint from the marrow, the soul, and the spirit. I've never heard anybody among our people or anybody else that could divide the soul and the spirit. I know there's a difference in it, but I can't do it, and I never heard anybody else that could. But I know it's so because God's word says it. You hear me? I know it's so. And God's word is able to do that. Had we the mental capability to do that? But God's word says, I will look unto him who is of a poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Jeremiah said, my word is like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. Now that's how dangerous this book is. You better respect it. Better respect it. Men have tried to disrespect it. They've tried to change it. They've tried to take it out of public worship. They've tried to take it out, improve on it. I want to tell you right now, you can't improve on perfection. You can't improve on this work.
Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, when men go to tampering with it, you better understand that it's downhill because these men are trying to improve on the inspiration of God, and it literally cannot be done only in the mind of men. I want you to listen to what they said. Jesus said, or Isaiah said, he that killeth an ox is as if he had slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation, as if it's offered in swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. Do you get that? That's God's people. That's not children of the devil. He said they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. But here's what God said. I will choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Now I'll tell you, that's plain, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Chose that in which I delighted not. That was God's people. It didn't send them to hell. They didn't apostatize out of the grace of God. But I want to tell you what they did. They got themselves in trouble because they left their first love.
Amen.
I'll tell you now today that the first love that we have, the first love ought to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know that we marry physically and we have our first love, but I want to tell you right now, the church today is my first love. You know why? The Bible tells me this, except a man forsake father and mother, houses and lands for my sake and the gospel, he cannot be my disciple. I'll tell you, that's a hard trip to make for a man who's called of God. I say this today, and I'll say it anywhere in the world, but I'll tell you this, there's no place in the ministry for laziness. There's no place in the ministry for somebody that's not willing to make a sacrifice. There's no place in the ministry for those who would stand not for the truth, but in those things that would delight men. I recognize men oftentimes like a pat on the back. I do, and everybody else does. But I want to tell you right now, there comes this time when maybe you might have to stand against something. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah? Now, we want to say, I've always been an advocate of standing for something. But there may come a time in your life when you have to stand against something. Yes, sir. You know what Paul said? Now, he didn't take vengeance, but I'll tell you what he said about Alexander the coppersmith, Brother Virgil. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, but he said, the Lord reward him according to his works. Amen. The Lord, you fix it any way you want to. You'll take care of the situation. You know what, if that had been me, what I say about it, I'm going to get him. And if I don't get him, I'm going to leave my will, and I'm going to leave his name for my kids to get him, you know. That's my attitude about it. But I won't say that's the wrong way. But what I'm saying to you is, there comes a time, that lady told me one time, she said, Brother Ricky, said, I tell you, we're trying to stand for an issue over in our part of the country. And she said, Brother Ricky, I'll tell you right now, you're killing our church because you've taken such a position on this. Well, I said, I'm not above being wrong. I'm going to tell you, I've made mistakes along the line. But I'll tell you right now, when a vowed, known homosexual is in the church, he can't live in the church of God.
No.
Hear me? Now, I'll be just as gentlemanly about that as I can. But I want to tell you right now, he doesn't have a right in this church. He doesn't have a right in my church or any other church.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
He's chosen the wrong way. Somebody said he's born like that. That's not so. That's not so. No, it's not. And now we have states and people and public office said, well, just anything's all right. I want to tell you right now, God's people get wound up in that kind of thing. I understand that. But I'll tell you, Israel got wound up in it. And you know what? God said this, I'll choose their delusions for them.
Yeah.
They've chosen that which is not good. I'm not mad at you this morning. I'm just giving you a vaccination, all right? I'm going to give you a vaccination. All right, here we go. Time's getting away. I'm enjoying preaching this morning. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're anxious about it, Martha. But one thing's needful. Now, here's what's needful, Martha. Mary hath chosen that good part. I like that. I wish that could be said about me. at times. You know, I've chosen so many bad, I'm ashamed to look at you in the face and tell you how many bad decisions I've made. How many bad choices I've made. I wish to God I could go back and undo it. That's the truth. But I'll tell you, you know, there's a saying now, it is what it is. You know, I can't undo it. But I'm glad there's such a thing as repentance, aren't you? I'm glad there's such a thing in heaven as a forgiving God. I'm glad there's such a man in heaven that makes intercession for me when I failed and when I've come short of the glory of God. Yet there's a man in heaven that stands in the gap. There's a man in heaven named Jesus who is the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And though Martha was anxious about this and said, Lord, go send this woman to help me, I'm having to do it all. I'm having to do it all. And here she sits listening to you. Here she sits listening to you. One thing's needful, Martha. Mary has chosen that good part. And you know what? It's not going to be taken away. It's not going to be taken away. You remember in the book of Hebrews, and I'll just give you one example, by the name of Moses. Go to that great chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse 25. I want you to notice the terminology of the text. Well, let's go back to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen to verse 25. Choosing. Here it is now. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What a statement. He chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That was Moses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, Moses never heard the word Christ. He never heard a gospel sermon. But esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He was faithful. He is faithful. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Get that. You know, that's a misnomer, ain't to see something that's invisible. Yeah. But that's what the Bible said. He saw Christ.
Yeah.
He esteemed the riches of Christ because he saw him who was invisible. He chose rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy all the treasures of Egypt. You know, when I was 11 years old, and I'm not telling you this to brag on myself, and I don't know that I ever told you before, anywhere, anytime. But my mother and daddy were not members of the church at the time. They attended church at another place. And I went to church in my community, the Presbyterian Baptist Church. I had relatives that were there. And my mother and daddy were some of the finest people I've ever known. Never known anybody like them. Provided for me when I couldn't provide for myself. But I left them. I left them where they went to church. And I joined the Old Latin Primitive Act. And that was the happiest day of my life. I remember it just like it was 60 years ago. I can remember it pictured in my mind. I can tell you everything that took place that day. And I came back and with my grandmother and my granddaddy, and they told mother and daddy what I did. And they said, "Well, son, are you happy?" And I said, "I'm so happy I just can't describe it. I mean, you know, I saw something that was invisible. I couldn't describe it." And you know, it wasn't very long till mom and daddy began to come. It wasn't very long till I started preaching after that. And did you know I baptized both my mother and dad? Nope, I don't know if anybody else had that privilege. It was a great privilege for me. I baptized my nieces and nephews, baptized my father-in-law. There's nobody been ever opposed to Primitive Baptist as much as my father-in-law was. His son joined the church, his son that's deceased now, and he wouldn't even come to the baptize. And a year and 2 months later, I baptized him. He's a deacon of the church right now and has been for many years. And the choice that he made that time wasn't good. He'll tell you that right today. The choice was something that was a miserable mistake. But the Lord used that and overruled that, I'm convinced, to show others the way of life and the choice of truth, and seeing something that is invisible that you cannot explain, my friends, is that this world can never know. It never can be explained. You get out here and walk up and down the street and try to explain what you believe, see what kind of reception you get.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it won't be very happily received. But I'll tell you one thing. When Moses left down there, he saw something was invisible. He said, I know it's all there, but he said, I've got something better. And I'll tell you, as we come into a new year, my friend, we hear trouble on every side. We are cast down but not destroyed. We see it. We see the things of this earth arise this way. We see the temptations of the young and the struggles of the old. We see all of that. But I want to tell you, there's one thing needful, Brother Virgil, and that's for us to sit at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Sit at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because I'll tell you right now, if he hadn't chosen us, you'd have never chose him.
Yeah.
That's the reason. Yes, sir. You know, the disciples couldn't put that together, but you know what Jesus told them? You hadn't chose me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. They didn't understand that. No, sir, but Paul said this to the church at Thessalonica. He said, "We are bound to give thanks for you always, brethren, beloved of the Lord. For God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." You see, my friends, today, that if we ever live in heaven, it'll be because God chose us to be there. But if we have the joy of the bride of Christ and sitting at the feet of Jesus in this world that's no friend of grace, my friend, I'll tell you, it's going to take a choice on our part.
Yeah.
Some forsaking to be done. You know what little Ruth said one time? Ruth said this. Ruth was down there in Moab.
Yeah.
She was down in Moab. And I'll tell you, Ruth made a wise choice. You know what her mother-in-law told her? Naomi said, "Now, you'll be a lot better off when you stay down here with your people and your God." Isn't that right? If you'll just stay down here, I'm a poor widow. I can't bear any more children. You'll never have another husband. But she said, "Just stay down here with your people and your gods." And I'll tell you, you know what Ruth's choice was? She said, "Whether thou goest, I'll go."
Yeah.
"Whether thou goest, I'll go."
Amen.
"Your people will be my people. Where you die, I'll die. And there I'll be buried." That was Ruth's choice. Sometimes we sing an old song, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye. The Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie." Brother, I'll tell you right now, you'll never receive the benefits of the land of Canaan standing on Jordan's stormy banks. You'll never get it. But I'll tell you what you've got to do. You've got to go through the water into the land. And if you're here today and say, "Well, I don't want to be baptized again," you won't have to be baptized again. You'll just have to be baptized. Amen. You just have to be baptized. Yes, sir. There's a lady told me that one time. She said, "What do you mean baptized?" I said, "Well, you've gone through the water, but you've not been baptized."
Yeah.
Yes, sir. But I'll tell you right now, when you've been baptized on the profession of truth, when you've been baptized by a legal administrator, if you are a proper subject, I'll tell you right now, then you're able to see something that's invisible and say, "I'm willing to lay it all down like Ruth and go and make the choice to step out on the promises of God." Because I've got a faithful promise of the character of God who says this, I've got fathers and mothers that I didn't know I had. I've got sisters and brothers that I didn't know I had. I've got houses and lands that I didn't know I had.
Yeah.
You know, I used to try to describe to the girls in my office, Brother Bruce, they'd ask me, "Where are you going to go?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to Oklahoma. I'm going to Texas or somewhere to preach, you know, going to Kentucky." "Well, where are you going to stay?" I said, "Well, I don't know." "I don't know." I said, "I'll stay with somebody." "Somebody you don't know?" "Yeah, somebody I don't, probably never seen them. Never seen them. I don't know what it is." I said, "No, well, I tell you, I've got mothers and fathers I didn't know I had."
Yeah.
"I got sisters and brothers I didn't know I had. They'll give me the best they've got. They'll give me things they wouldn't give their own." And I'll tell you right now, my friend, when Jesus said this, he said, "Except a man forsake father and mother and houses and lands, he cannot be my disciple." But he said, "I'll multiply him 100-fold.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And that's the best you can do. When I was going to school, if you made 100, that's the best you could do.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. 100. Made 100. That's the best I could do. Well, I want to tell you right now, that's what the promise of God is. Seeing him who is invisible. That's what Mary got. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what Mary got. She got 100-fold. Thank God for Mary.
Yeah.
Don't we need a few more Marys? Don't we need a few more Marys? Amen and amen. Mary's chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from. If you're here today and you say, "Well, Brother Ricky, I'm not worthy to join the church." Well, we're not. Yeah, that's truth. You're not. But I'll tell you one thing. There's something invisible in the house of God that you don't have a vocabulary to explain, but you can feel it down deep in your soul. And I'll tell you, when I come to the house of God and I leave here today and I go back across the mountain, I'm going to enjoy the thought of that being rekindled in me. That's the reason I come to the house of God again and again and again and again. I need a rekindling of the fire. I need to be built up again as lively stones, not lively bricks. Every one of us different. Bricks come out of a vat. They're all just alike. But stones, every one of them are different. And the Bible says that you are lively stones built up into a spiritual house. To make spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. And I'll tell you, I thank God for you here today. I thank God for this church. I thank God for its faithfulness. I thank God for your faithfulness. And men like Brother Herring, you that are here today, who are not ashamed to stand on the promises of God and say, "I'll sit at the feet of Jesus at every cost." Today, may God send laborers to the vineyard. May God bless us with men and those in the laity who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And may God give us strength to endure as seeing him who is invisible. That's my prayer for you and for the church of God in this land and wherever it exists. And I pray God will bless us to persevere in that realm. And I'll tell you, that's needful.
Yeah.
That's needful. Won't make heaven one bit brighter but it's needful for us to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. I've enjoyed trying to preach this morning, much as I have in a long time. May God bless you in this new year to come. Thank you for letting me come to Macedonia again. And pray for me and mine when at the throne of grace. Do you hear this morning? And when you unite with this church in the way that the gospel authorizes, then you come and we'll put your case before the church while you sing. Sing when you're ready.